Atlanta gets national attention for its cash bail system and would just as soon not. Earlier this month, a man with a history of mental illness was released from jail after 3 months of being held without trial just because he couldn't pay his $500 bail. Since then, the Atlanta mayor's office and the municipal court have proposed eliminating cash bonds for minor offenses, or rather those accused of minor offenses. Other cities across the state, like Calhoun, are seeing similar calls to action. What does bail reform look like in places where it's been tried, and what might it look like in Georgia? Joining me now is Marissa Dodson, Public Policy Director at the Southern Center for Human Rights. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning, Adam.
Also with us is Jennifer Saliti from the Office of the Public Defender in New Jersey. New Jersey does some things very differently, and we'll find out from Jennifer momentarily. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello.
Marissa, remind us, what's the point of bail, making somebody pay some money when they get arrested for something? It's not a punishment like a fine, right?
That's right. That's right. The purpose of bail, there are two purposes. The first is to ensure that the person will come back to court and that they will actually deal with the charges for which they had been accused. And the second purpose is that they, you know, will not pose a public safety risk. It is to ensure that there will be no future criminal activity.
How is the latter goal theoretically achieved?
Well, that's the problem with money and the use of money, because neither one of those purposes are actually fulfilled. And so the question becomes, when you have wealth-based attention, when the condition is money, then how are either of those purposes for which bail is intended furthered?
And the consequence, of course, is that you might have a situation where a person who has no money with which to pay bail, even if it's a very modest bail by other people's standards, they could just sit in prison, jail for a very long time without having been convicted of a crime.
That's exactly right. And someone who has the money, right, say someone who does have the $500 or the $200 or whatever it is, that individual who may not come back, who has resources to actually run and flee the jurisdiction, or who may pose some kind of risk around public safety, those issues are not taken into account for that individual. And so that is why you see the large numbers of people who are incarcerated pre-trial be people who unfortunately cannot afford their release.
So what is notable to you about the cash bail system as it currently works in Atlanta and more broadly across Georgia?
Well, as I said, I think that, you know, wealth-based detention, this issue is not only is it unconstitutional in that whether or not you're incarcerated turns on your financial means, but also it perpetuates, you know, systemic poverty. This, you know, cycling individuals like Mr. McCrary, as you referenced earlier, through our criminal justice system, when these are the individuals who are most in need of services, perpetuates the same kind of systemic issues that we should be intentional on trying to address in our communities instead of using our criminal justice system as the place in which people reside.
So Atlanta's new mayor, Keisha Lance Bottoms, has already proposed a plan to eliminate cash bail in Atlanta. This is an issue that is close to her. Here she is explaining why in a campaign video.
I learned very early on that good people sometimes make bad decisions. Came home from school and there were police officers all over our house. And I saw my dad being led away in handcuffs. I spent every weekend visiting my dad in prisons across the state.
So Marissa, what does the mayor have in mind for how specifically to change the bail and bonding system in Atlanta?
Well, we are encouraged by conversations we're having with the mayor and her staff. We are very optimistic that she has taken the stance that she's taken around eliminating cash bail for most minor offenses in the city. We are in conversations with her office and with city council members to try to figure out the best language to really get what we want accomplished, which again is to eliminate the use of money as a condition for most minor offenses. And I think it's important to just reiterate that what we are looking for is a mandate on this issue, that there will be clarity for individuals that if they are charged with certain offenses, that there will be no condition related to their financial obligation. And I think it's also important to just say that, you know, there are other types of conditions. You know, we need to get out of the issue or thinking that this is just about money. There are other ways in which we can use to deal with this issue.
And on that note, let's go ahead and turn to Jennifer Saliti from the Office of the Public Defender in New Jersey. New Jersey has gotten a lot of attention for reforming its pretrial system. What exactly have y'all done up there, Jennifer?
Well, what we did was enact a system that addresses both of the goals that Marissa articulated, to ensure that people appear for court and to ensure as best that we can that they don't commit a new offense while on release. So what we did was first enact a statutory scheme that created a pretrial services department to make recommendations to judges about who should be released pretrial and what sort of conditions that they need, so that they're monitored by the court to make sure they show up for court dates, to get treatment, to get services that they may need while on release. Secondly, our voters approved a constitutional amendment that allowed for pretrial detention, which at first sounds strange that that would be something that we would be advocating, but we have to recognize that there are some, a very small portion of our pretrial population, some people that are too dangerous to be released. So we created a system where after a hearing in front of a judge, those people who are deemed to be too dangerous remain incarcerated up until their trial date. But the vast majority of people are released on conditions and monitored by the court to make sure that they show up for court and they don't commit new offenses.
What criteria would a court use to determine if someone is too dangerous to be released pre-trial? Would that be purely based on the seriousness of the offense, the particular offense to which they stand accused? Or could the court factor in other things that they might know about that person?
Well, we use something called the public safety assessment, which is a risk assessment tool that takes into consideration things like the age of at the current arrest, any violent convictions the person may have had, any charges pending at the time of the arrest, prior failures to appear. Have there been other times where this person hasn't shown up in court? And it gives the court a risk assessment score that they can use as a starting point. And that score is based on thousands and thousands of cases that were studied both nationally and in New Jersey. So the risk assessment tool is sort of a statistical analysis that we can use and give judges a starting point to decide whether or not this person presents a risk to public safety or a flight risk.
We're talking about reforming the bail system. Of course, people accused of crimes often asked to pay or made to pay money in order to get out of jail as they await trial. And often folks are not able to pay what they have been ordered to pay, and thus they end up sitting in jail for a very long time without having been convicted of a crime. And that's an issue in Georgia and in Atlanta in particular. We're talking about it with folks from the South and also with a person from New Jersey right now, whose name I'm going to pull up momentarily. So sorry, Jennifer Saliti from the Office of the Public Defender in New Jersey, talking about how they have attempted some reforms in this area in New Jersey, and not everyone in New Jersey is convinced that this is working. There's some skepticism in the law enforcement community about whether making it easier for folks to get out of jail pre-trial might enable offenders to repeat. Here is New Jersey Police Chief Joseph Walker talking to PBS NewsHour's Megan Thompson.
It's a shame that we waste time arresting people over and over again, and they keep on releasing them. I mean, our officers feel like it's a slap in the face because they're working hard to do a good case, whether it be drugs or car burglaries or whatever. They get down there and they get released, and they're out probably doing it again.
Jennifer, is that a concern that has been borne out by your experience in New Jersey, having passed these reforms?
It is not. There has been a lot of sort of fear-mongering by some of the local law enforcement and the bail industry about our new system. But what you have to remember is that prior to pretrial justice reform, people would bail out and commit new offenses. So the idea that somebody getting out and committing a new offense is the fault of the pretrial justice system is wrong, and I think it's dangerous to present information to the public that way. The truth is that you can never have a system that's foolproof. But what people have to remember is under our old system, the judge was not allowed to consider whether or not somebody was a danger to the community when the judge made the decision on whether or not to release them. Huh. And people who were released were not monitored in any way whatsoever by the court. So now we have a system that considers dangerousness, allows us to incarcerate pretrial those people who are the most dangerous, and And if people are released, they have support and services and monitoring in place to prevent them from reoffending. So while it'll never be Minority Report, right, we can't predict with certainty whether or not somebody's going to commit a new crime.
Sure.
The tools that we have in place right now are far more superior to the ones we had in place before. And it acknowledges the fact of what Marissa was saying earlier. Money, there has not been any study that shows that the amount of money that somebody posts has anything to do with whether or not they'll return to court or will they'll commit a new offense. That's
Marissa
just not
Dodson
the right way
to
go about it.
Indeed. Marissa Dodson with the Southern Center for Human Rights. In the last minute that we have, what do you hear when you hear about these reforms in New Jersey? Are these things that could be applied successfully in Georgia, in your opinion?
Absolutely. I just want to make a really quick point that we are focused in the city of Atlanta. There are some state reforms, conversations about bail around misdemeanors as well, but we are talking about low-level offenses. In Georgia, there's a constitutional right to bail in misdemeanor cases. And this notion around carving out particular crimes or offenses for which would pose the kind of public safety risk that we are concerned about, family violence battery and domestic violence situations and DUIs, those offenses would be treated differently. They would be required to go before a judge within 24 hours. We recognize that there are some legitimate public safety concerns, and we believe that we can build a system that does not focus or eliminates the use of money, but really addresses those two purposes of bail. And I think that jurisdictions like New Jersey and cities like New Orleans and Chicago are leading the way when you think about the way bail reform should happen.
It's Marissa Dodson, Public Policy Director at the Southern Center for Human Rights. We were also joined by Jennifer Saletti from the Office of the Public Defender in New Jersey. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.